welcome to another episode of the Disaster Podcast here in Las Vegas in the Medicast booth, sponsored by Physio Control. We appreciate their support. And also Jim Logan here from Paragon Medical Education Group, who is my sponsor for our Disaster Podcast. We have a very special guest with us today, Jeff Buchanan. Why don't you explain to the folks what you do here at Clark County?
Well, I'm a deputy fire chief at Clark County Fire and working there for 3 years, and was made aware that you all were putting on a podcast and wanted to talk about something that's very near and dear to Clark County's heart. We were a little slow on the draw getting into the game, but ironically enough, over the last 2 years, peer support and critical incident stress management has been a center focus for Clark County, and with the events that just recently happened, it's been, you know, at the forefront of our mind.
Well, if you listen to our podcast, we talk about that quite a lot, and responder safety and responder preparedness and responder care are some really hot buttons for us. So Jim, for people that may not know you, why don't you explain a little about your background?
So I'm Jim Logan. So my background's a firefighter paramedic, but also in USAR system as a medical specialist and an emergency manager for the city of Memphis for the past 5 years. Just retired about a year ago, so I'm just enjoying working and doing education with Paragon right now, and reaching out and getting to know people like Chief Buchanan. So,
and we're really grateful to have you, because you know, we know it's still touchy and it's, you know, still sensitive and it's still a crime scene, so people are kind of reluctant to talk about it. But I mean, this was a big event, and we feel fortunate to have somebody who did have some experience. And so, just tell us about how we took care of these responders. What was their reaction? I assume there was a whole lot of people involved.
Yeah, we had a lot of firefighters that are unseen, and we're still in a very embryonic stage for Clark County with our peer support team. And we started off in really the lane of critical incident stress management, and we rebranded, if you will, to really something that's just of support. We're a peer support team now, and our values are trust and confidentiality. Sure. Mission to support our own, and you got three criteria if you want to be on the team. You're going to be an active listener, you're not going to judge, and you care. Yeah. And so in regards to this particular incident, we tried to gather everybody together after the scene just to let everyone there know that the organization is there for them. We also, through the partnerships that we have with the bargaining group and their strong leadership, they actually connected with the International Association of Firefighters.
Nice.
And they brought professionals
out.
And they've been out to each of our stations that were involved in the incident. And we have continuing care that's going to be those individuals coming back out. We have a local professionals that are getting involved, and certainly our own peer support team is we've been trying to go back and check in on all the people. And the reality is, we don't know what it's going to look like.
Right.
We're trying to stay focused on it as an organization. We're going to stumble, there's no doubt about it. We got to get better. I think that right now our head's screwed on pretty straight, and we're really focused on the mental health of all those that were involved, and we're just trying to listen and pay attention to the organizations that have experienced similar, not the same, mm-hmm. but similar situations, and you know, we're just trying to do the best we can for the hardworking men of Clark County Fire, men and women of Clark County Fire that were there, because so many people were touched.
Right.
It sounds like a bit like a trial by fire, especially if it's a new team.
Yeah.
So I'm sure once you get this right, you're going to be on solid ground for whatever comes next.
Well, this was certainly a unique situation. We've trained for active shooters over the past several years in a certain fashion, a certain format. But this was out of that box, and so I think the training that you guys have done and that's been seen nationally certainly helped in the incident. But it wasn't typical as we would be prepared. Has that played a factor in anything that you guys have seen that, you know, we could have been prepared better? I don't know how you could be prepared to the fullest for this
Mm-mm.
type of event.
To your point, no one can.
Right.
I think that some of the foresight of the fire chief, Greg Castle, and some of his vision that he's been working in personally over the course of the last several years is to build stronger coalitions with our law enforcement partners.
Yeah.
And that was evident that night. We joined together for the incident command system, and we feel like, to your point, nothing was typical.
Yep.
And this was truly unique. We believe that our continuing training over the last several years helped us to mitigate this incident in a highly effective way. But certainly we would not be honest to say that there couldn't have been things that would have been improved.
Sure.
However, all that being said, that will all be evaluated over the course of the next several months to see where those opportunities are.
I think there's an important point, because a lot of people don't train with fire, EMS, law enforcement, hospitals. It's assumed that, you know, we should know what each other is doing.
Right.
And so I think your model for this type of event is spot on, and it helps people be able to make those relationships prior to when an event happens, and then it goes much better. So your peer support teams, so we've got some responders that have been affected, I'm sure. And then, so do you guys include families with that? Because when they go home,
good question.
Right, they go home to their families. And one thing that we learned in USAR, actually from the Maryland Task Force in the USAR system, is when we went to the Pentagon, they flew in a group of people that dealt with families, what to expect, telling families, husbands, wives, significant others, and what to expect when we got home, trigger points, those kind of things. So you got any
thoughts
on that?
Just the need to go inside for a while and kind of diffuse in our own heads before we can relate to things on the outside.
So we do have a recognition that family members are impacted in situations like this, particularly in our case. We had several firefighters that were off duty in the melee with their wives.
I heard that, yes.
And that's a specific and almost separate uniqueness to this story. Yeah. But overall, we are aware of it. And you know, the peer support team as a whole is not a one-size-fits-all.
Right.
We're trying to be there. Just again, if you look back at our mission statement, to support our own, and that includes our own families, we have deployed the team and been an ear to listen to individuals whose family members are, you know, hurting over a situation. But we need to get better in those areas.
Sure.
And we're constantly evolving and trying to evolve and listen to others that have come before us, and they're doing things better and paying better attention to those types of things.
Right.
So we're aware, but I don't know that we're dealing with it as good as we could.
Well, you know, I think we talked before we went on air, but, you know, so that's a lesson learned, right?
Right.
For you guys, are there any other lessons that have been learned from this event so far that you'd like to talk about?
Partnerships, the importance of partnerships.
Right.
You know, Ben Franklin and Ounce of Prevention were the pound of cure. We're trying to stay out in front.
Right.
It's not easy to do. And I'm not even going to tell you that we're out in front. We feel like we're managing.
Yeah.
But there's no way we're not going to stumble and fall along the way, keeping our eyes open to the whole situation, knowing that there's a lot that we don't know.
Right.
And being very self-aware as an organization of those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to point to one, is to have partnerships, know the importance of partnerships, continue to strengthen those partnerships in the law enforcement community, other public safety partners. And you know, we have a pretty strong coalition in Southern Nevada of peer support teams that meet with frequency, because only the names change.
That's right.
You know, somebody's in law enforcement, someone's in EMS, someone's in the fire game. Doesn't matter. The situations are remarkably similar, and the problems are the same, and only the names change. So we're trying to share. We're trying to manage the knowledge that each other have and share that information, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
And again, focus on partnerships, because you know, together, you know, as the cliche says, we can all achieve more, right?
Yeah. So I have the opportunity to teach at the National Fire Academy as well, and there's several leadership classes that are out there that NEMS and fire both that really are pointing towards the importance of what you guys are doing here, that it is the post-traumatic stress disorder, peer support, those are real issues that are affecting our industry, as we know, with suicide rates up, things like that. So that's, it's something that we shied away from for many years.
Oh, yeah.
As we're a you know, a very macho, you know, industry.
Belly and, up to the bar, boys.
Right, and now, yeah. So now it's so hats off to you guys.
Well, we got a long way to go.
Right.
You know, I gotta put that out
sure.
there. And it takes a team effort. It takes yeah. a village. And permeating the very, very tough exterior of a firefighter.
Right. Well,
and this is male or female.
That was my question.
Right? Male
yeah.
or female.
Right.
It's difficult to do.
Yep. Yep.
Are they, you know, because I remember what Jim was alluding to. I was doing this back in the day when it was not acceptable, especially with your old regime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Right.
And then gradually, as the younger people started coming in, teaching EMT for many years,
yeah.
I started hitting them right when they came into training. Well, why this is important, if you want a long, healthy career, and you know, we saw a movement where it became, even with firefighters I still work with, it started becoming more acceptable. And I felt good every time they called me
right.
because they realize it's important. So are you still, you know, in this day and age, are you still seeing some people with resistance, maybe the more experienced guys? Or
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, it's going to continue. It's a cultural issue.
Until they all retire from. Yeah,
but what I'm seeing on a national level is more acceptance and more,
yeah.
the men and women are trying to gain more of an understanding of how they can get help. And so there's a lot of departments out there with law enforcement, EMS, and fire that don't have a peer support group. And I just want you to know that, you know, I was recently out there, we're looking towards you guys for, you know, the lessons learned from this so we can grow.
Well, I'll tell you, it starts with leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And the way this whole thing has been handled, and I say from the top down, we've had county management, all of the commissioners involved, and, you know, the fire chief has taken this as a focal point,
right.
and it's coming from him,
mm-hmm.
right? Which
That's
is special. It's
yeah.
great,
pretty
right?
Awesome.
And
yeah.
it gets all the individuals to buy in. Okay, if the fire chief is saying it, a savvy veteran of 28 years
right.
who, you know, has been there and done that, then maybe it's okay for me. And we've been, and we also have some key players in the peer support team.
Right.
I mean, there are some highly respected individuals that people listen to, and it, fair or not fair, life is not fair, the messenger matters.
Right.
And we have some good messengers that are carrying the water of how important this is,
mm-hmm.
and the devastating effects if you don't address mental issues, how it can impact your family
oh my
life,
God,
your
everything.
Personal life,
yeah.
your professional life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without a healthy mind, you're not going to have a healthy body. And we have the right people sending that message. We have the right people starting to better understand that message. And, you know, again, I think it in this type of a situation, it matters who's carrying the message. And we have the fire chief who's out in front. So
I love that. Helps. That is ideal. And like you said, this is an event you couldn't have planned for.
Mm.
Or even nobody really expects an active shooter. I mean, that, but even though they're becoming, unfortunately, way more common. But if you have a good foundation in your team, it doesn't matter what the incident is. You know, you can still take care of people the same way. But what's the history of Clark County in terms of events, large events that have occurred? I don't know much about it.
Well, we're the largest fire department in the state, covering 8,000 square miles, 30
wow.
fire stations. We're a combination department, so there's also 13 rural fire stations. And frankly, we're very busy. We run about 140,000 incidents a year.
Wow.
And we're busy. So we're exposed to a lot of high profile and difficult calls. And the men and women of Clark County Fire deal with a lot of fatalities, a lot of disturbing calls.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about, you know, some of the higher profile, well, what the news is telling us is this one was historical.
Yeah.
But I can tell you on a daily basis, the men and women of Clark County Fire are experiencing the calls that we should never be exposed to, right? They are seeing the things, unfortunately, that you should only see on TV and only watch that very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And so we only recently have started a peer support team. We recognize that we didn't start it soon enough, and we're like I said, we're trying to evolve. We're trying to learn from
yeah.
our mistakes. But when you talk about some of the unique situations of Clark County Fire, I would, and it seems a bit cliche,
mm-hmm.
and I understand that so many fire departments across the nation are saying how busy they are, but I think that we the numbers speak for themselves. When you're dealing with that level of volume and a large portion of that on the highest profile landmass and perhaps the world, the strip, it gives an interesting dynamic, and they see a lot. They see a lot. So peer support is definitely needed, and we're glad that we have the team up and running. We got a long way to go, and I think it's through strong partnerships, labor and management, and the partnerships that we have that we're making some progress.
Well, and given that something good comes out of everything bad, this is giving you a great opportunity to really bring your team in, and you know, it's a good training ground for them, as sad as that may be. You know, you're going to come out of this, your peer support team's going to come out of this stronger and more focused and with, you know, better ideas on how to make the team work and maybe get more people involved in it. So that maybe that's a good thing.
It's a great thing, and it's been fertile ground for learning and growing, and we're already doing that. We've had several individuals on the department. We just recently had another gathering of our peer support team and another 5 to 10 people that want to be a part of our group. And it's been an outstanding showing from the community and our local partners. Hey, what can we do to help you? So all those things have been very, very positive. So there definitely is some lemonade out of this lemon. But being very, very realistic, what we don't know, and perhaps what we don't know, but as we listen to the New York firefighters and some of the other agencies, sometimes it's years down the road where these problems rear their ugly head. So we have to be vigilant, and we have to continue to stay vigilant.
Yeah, continue to monitor those people. And usually in the process, you can kind of get a sense for the ones that, you know, they may be in denial for a while. Yeah. They take longer to process these things. So, you know, you can kind of keep an eye on them and do some follow-up and remind them you're still there, you know, even years down the road if they need to be.
Well, thanks for coming out. You know, we were a little reluctant to reach out to you. Being so close to the event and the sensitivity of it and the historical significance, and you guys are still trying to wrap your head around things, and totally get that. But I think, you know, you guys are like a lot of other departments across the nation. As far as peer support, it wasn't high on the priority list, but as we grow in our industry, we're seeing that it's important, and I think there's going to be a lot of people looking to you, not for answers, but just kind of how you dealt with things as a model. And so it's we'd love to check back with you in six months and kind of see how things are going, and like to have you on the show again.
Yeah, and kudos to Clark County. You're doing it right. You're doing it right. You had the right model set up, and even though you're a new team, you're moving in the right direction. And, you know, people working in Clark County are lucky to have that.
So. Well, we're happy to share any lessons learned. Right. Again, we got a long way to go. Sure. We know that we're going to stumble along the way, but we appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you too.
We wanted to give you those kudos because we think it's important. And like Jim said, maybe we can check in with you in
Absolutely. A
few months and see how things are going.
Sounds good.
Love to be a part of it.
Thanks. So, Jim, can people learn more about, you know, active shooter, strangely, is the topic, and you guys do active shooter experiential training as one of the many things you do, but you really customize it for whatever area you're going into and whatever kind of things they deal with.
Yeah, just the usual social media outlets, Facebook and Twitter, and then just our webpage as well. They can reach out to us there, and then they certainly get to us with you guys for the Disaster Podcast.
Correct. I mean, it's hard to ask you if there's contact information for a CISM team, but if people are curious about, say, other agencies want to learn more about the model you guys have created, is there some way they can connect?
Yeah, absolutely. They could email me at jeff.buchanan, my name, jeff.buchanan, at clarkcountynv.gov. Be happy to share.
Nice.
That's great, because I think Jim said it. This is a model people will be looking at.
Yep.
And it's been successful so far. And good luck in the future. I think you're on a good road here. Well, thank you all for being here. You notice it's nice and quiet.
It is.
We're actually doing this before the show floor opens. So it's kind of nice. It's just Jamie over there and us, and he's waving at you. You can't see him. But a lot more to come today and tomorrow, and we're looking forward to it. A lot more Disaster Podcasts, a lot more other things. Again, we appreciate Physio Control for having us in the booth, and certainly my friends from Paragon for almost 5 years
of
absolutely
amazing
podcast. Yeah. And hi to Dr. Joe, who's busy elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're working. So come back and see us, and remember that disaster medicine is not our everyday medicine.